Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Policy and Strategy Committee meeting on today, Tuesday, February the 20th. We have Councillor Haysom sends her regrets, and Councillor Stanton will be joining us today virtually. I would like to acknowledge, first off, that we are within Mi'kma'ki, the traditional territory of the Mi'kmaq. We are able to work here today because of the Treaty of Peace and Friendship that was signed by those who came before us. Are there any announcements, acknowledgements, or recognitions at this time? Councillor Greek.
Thank you, Chair. I have two community halls in my area have asked me to pass along their appreciation to Modal. The Bars Corner Community Hall recently received the final 25% of a grant from last year and have said thank you for the support and understanding the need of the financial assistance to our community hall. Along with that, the Parkdale-Maplewood Community Hall Association has also extended their gratitude for the grants they have received. They have also asked me to pass along a thank you to a staff member, Sandra Chalice, who has been a big help to the Parkdale-Maplewood Hall Association lately for her knowledge, patience, and kindness.
We'll tell them thank you from us as well, and we're grateful that we're able to support and help them. At this time, is there any public input? Seeing none, we're going to move down to our agenda, and are there any changes to the agenda? Can I have an approval of the agenda as Councillor Wynot? And Councillor Vino second it. All those in favor? Councillor Stanton?
Her mic.
Oh. Can you just put your hand up because we don't hear you on your mic? Great. Thank you. So the agenda has been approved. Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move down to the approval of the minutes of January the 16th, 2024. As circulated, do we have Councillor Hubley, a seconder? Councillor Moore? All those in favor? Councillor Stanton? Great, thank you. And the minutes have been approved. Do we have any minute business arising from the minutes that we've had? No? Okay, we're going to our...
Do you want to go to the presentation?
What do you think? You're happy to go ahead?
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to go all the way down to 9.3.1, Nova Scotia Community College Well Water Quality Pilot Project, and Alex is going to lead us in that little discussion.
Good morning, committee members. I have what hopefully will be received as a very good news story, partly as a result of the work that council had done in terms of responding to dry wells in the community. We attracted the attention of an applied research group at the Nova Scotia Community College who are also working on well water. In fact, some of the work that they were doing is largely focused on applications in Africa in terms of being able to monitor and provide good quality well water in communities on different continents. But they're working on different sensor systems and are looking for Nova Scotia communities that were interested in partnering with them. So I'll give a quick overview of the project, and then I'd be happy to answer any questions of it. Essentially, they have developed a relatively inexpensive combination set of sensors that go into wells that can then provide real-time data in terms of both the quantity of water that's in the well, but also the quality of the water. So it can measure for things like E. coli and other things that you don't really want in your drinking water. It's still in the development stage, and so they're looking for ways to test it, and they thought they could reach out to municipalities because they thought there'd be some interest in municipal governments in understanding what's going on in the water table in different areas of their municipalities. We, of course, are interested in this. So we were very happy to have a meeting and discuss what will be involved. I'll start with the best news. There's a zero cost to the municipality for this project. They are footing the bill in terms of developing the sensors, providing them to the homeowners that participate, training the homeowners on how to use the app. So the homeowners themselves actually get real-time data on their mobile phones, telling them what's going on in their well. As a municipality, in addition to the benefit to the directly to those homeowners, we get aggregate data. So they're looking for a minimum of 10 households to participate. This will give us a minimum of 10 sites. We'll be looking for them to be distributed across the municipality. And they also collect meteorological data. So you can compare to see what the impacts are. For example, if there's a month of no rain, then we'll be able to see data for 3 years of how the water table in different corners of the municipality is impacted by large amounts of rain or very little rain. This will be very useful for us for long-term planning and may also be of use in terms of emergency management. So we're excited for the opportunity to participate in this. The only obligation they're looking for from the municipality is some support in terms of identifying homeowners who would participate. So we would use some of our channels like Municipal Matters or our Municipal Messenger, our website and Facebook to recruit participants, making sure that we got a broad geographical distribution. And then they'll be holding two conferences once they've completed collecting the data to sort of look at what kind of policy applications there might be coming out of that. So they would expect participation from the municipal, from a municipal official on that front. So we have been provided with an agreement to enter into a partnership with them. The agreement is summarized here, so there's no cost, very little staff time involved, essentially just helping recruit the participants. And I would love to get a motion from council, if you're comfortable, or from the committee recommending approval from council to participate in the project.
Do we have any questions at this time? Councillor Hubley.
I just have one question. Is there a preferred well type, like dug or drilled, or does it matter?
Nope, doesn't matter.
Awesome.
Yep.
I love this.
We'll probably be looking for some of both.
I love it.
Mayor Bolliver-Getson.
Thank you. Yeah, this definitely is a great program, and I'm glad that we're able to participate in this. But I hope that we look at it geographically as well, so that we have a cross-representation across our municipality, because the well types do differ depending on the area that you're in, the water quality.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. One of our questions to them was, can it be only, can we have more than 10? As the more data points you get, the better quality data. So we want to make sure that they're distributed, and as many devices as they're willing to give us and as many residents we can have sign up, the better it'll be for us.
And may I ask, when is this project supposed to start? When is the start date?
So it's a three-year program, and the agreement is to start in the next couple months. It appears to be a little free-flowing. So they contacted us several months ago, and we were just waiting for them to provide us with the agreement. So I don't know if they have a firm start date. They were waiting for some funding confirmation. They have received that. And so we're hoping that it will start in the spring.
Councillor DeLong, would you be able to bring forth a motion regarding this?
Certainly. Thank you. To members of the Policy and Strategy Committee and the Chair, I move that Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Municipal Council that Council approve the proposed well water resource management under climate change pilot project with the Nova Scotia Community College. I so move.
Do we have a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Bell. Discussion on the motion. Councillor Bell.
I'm particularly glad to see that we have the option to participate in this program, especially on the west side of the Lehigh River. In the last 5 years, we've had a lot of change in the water table, both going down to low levels and suddenly salt water showing up in wells that have been in use for 30 and 40 years. So something is definitely changing in the last couple of years. So I'm really glad that we get a chance to participate in this.
Any other questions? Or no? All those in favor? Councillor Stanton? We can't.
Her mic.
We can't hear you, Councillor Stanton. But if you raised your hand, great. Thank you very much. Motion has been approved unanimously. We're going to go to our presentation. If you're ready, Ian Tenpfaff, if you're ready. Oh, and Councillor DeLong is recusing herself at this time during this. Oh, Councillor, you have to actually state it.
You have to state it.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to recuse myself if possible.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you, Councillor DeLong. We're going to have the presentation, and Ian, if it's all right with you, we'll just wait till the end of your presentation for questions. Is that good? Okay, so we'll turn the time over to you. We don't hear you yet, Ian. Sandra, could you hear him speaking when he was speaking? Yes. Yeah, she could hear him. It was on our end. If you could just hold on and wait a moment, please. Thank you.
Can you test it on your end, guys, just to see if we can hear you?
Morning. Test, test.
Wonderful. We can hear you now.
Perfect. Okay, so I'll hop right into it then.
You might have to speak just a little bit louder, Ian.
Okay, I'll speak with my full chest here. I hope this will. I don't think I have a way to turn my mic up anymore. So we'll go with this and let me know if I need to slow down or clarify anything. So apologies, I was planning to come up in person, but there was some logistics errors on my end and I wasn't able to make the trip up this morning, but I'm very happy to have the time here to present a program that I've been working on developing with Casey to pursue some grant funding to push the active transit in the municipality to the next step forward. So we're titling it now of the Modal Regional Active Transit and E-Bike Share Network Study. So there's two prongs that this is approaching, and we'll detail those out as we step through here. So, and as I mentioned, this is part of the Connect 2 grant program. So just a quick little primer. I'm here representing AIM Network in this capacity. We've worked with the municipality in the past on a series of asset management cohorts and projects and training workshops. Just to give a summary of what we do, we're a registered nonprofit. We comprise of a network of asset managers from both practitioners like myself to several municipalities. Our prime mandate is to guide and support infrastructure management planning for municipalities throughout the region of Atlantic Canada. We have a suite of open source tools that are in use within the municipality. We do education, awareness training programs, and most importantly for this project, we provide direct technical assistance. Yes.
Excuse me, Ian. It's our, unfortunately, our audio, we're having a hard time and we're not really getting everything that you're saying. So we're going to see if we can continue to figure out how to fix it up, if you can be patient with us.
Absolutely. Thank you. I have another mic.
Oh, there we are. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You wouldn't mind going back one slide and repeating?
For sure.
Thank you.
Let me go back.
Or at least a synopsis of what you had said.
Yes. Perfect. Yeah, we don't need to look at two versions of my face here too much. But the quick prime was I'm representing AIM Network. We're a nonprofit that primarily focuses on asset management, which is a poor term, really, to say what we're doing. We're helping municipalities make decisions with their infrastructure through long-term planning and good informed decision-making through data and risk management and lots of different processes. So we have a fleet of open source tools that are in use with the municipality right now. And we've done a series of our training workshops, cohorts, and direct technical assistance with you guys in the past. And one of the key things that kind of frames us into help with this project is that we do provide direct technical assistance to municipalities regularly. And I am a service provider to does that as their day-to-day job. So we're looking at pursuing part of the Connect2 funding. So this is a provincial program that focuses on increasing opportunities to access active transportation. And the main goal is around increasing this accessibility to improve both physical health through physical activity, our general quality of life, and also in the end, reduce carbon emissions long-term. So just want to give a high-level look first at what the type of project we're looking at putting together for this grant funding. So there have been a series of studies done and plans and strategy in the past, and we want to take that to the next step ready for implementation. So we want to provide a more detailed assessment of any existing infrastructure in the region and specifically in the municipality, advance more data gathering. I know there's a large project going on right now with a lot of public engagement around updating the 2010 active transit strategy. We would take that a step further and get out there and get on the trails with people to discuss the specifics of this project, as well as discuss with any neighboring partner municipalities that might want to connect to a active transit network like this. So through that, we would identify new routes and potential upgrades to existing ones with prioritizations, evaluate any technical and financial aspects to this. So we want to take a look. I'm a civil engineer by trade, so we want to take that detailed technical look at things, not so far as designing drawings, but to the probable cost stage and getting concepts down. Then beyond that, we want to look at developing a regional implementation framework. So how are we going to make decisions? How are we going to prioritize? How are we going to build this out? Conceptualizing locations for new routes and upgrades, and finally identifying 8 to 10 potential hubs for docking stations for bike share libraries. So this is another unique aspect to this. We've had interest from the private sector on this, and I was told to put the asterisk at Zen e-bikes who initially approached us, but we want to have this being led by the municipality with support from AIM, not led through the private industry, but the interest was there that kicked this off. So 8 to 10 potential hubs for people to not own a bike, but to have access to pick one up and use to introduce themselves to it or to learn more about it, or potentially not being able to justify that purchase long-term, but still getting out and utilizing the routes long-term. We want to see how that would work, if it would work, where they should go. So first, why are we talking to you guys about it? I mentioned at the start there was some interest from the private sector that kicked it off, but it goes much beyond that. What makes Municipality District of Lunenburg a really great choice here? First off, you guys are leaders when it comes to rural active transportation. Your initial plan in 2010, or I should say strategy, was the first of its kind known to us out here in North America. There's also alignment with other departments within the municipality with their goals and needs, both with the sustainability department and the recreation department. There's existing infrastructure already in place that we can tie off of, particularly the provincial Nova Scotia Blue Route. We can really harness that existing infrastructure that we're not managing and responsible for, but can kind of go up next to it and have input as it expands and make sure that we're partnered with the province as it's getting pushed forward. And then the population density is quite interesting for a rural municipality. Both people who live within the district and people living in urban centers neighboring the district. It's a pretty quick ride from Mahone Bay to Lunenburg or from the council chambers right now to Bridgewater over to Mahone Bay. If you're on an e-bike, you can get all of those rides done in around 40 minutes or less. So on a nice day, that's a very realistic alternative to hopping in your car, which is the main goal. So I mentioned off the gate discussing the synergy and opportunities with other departments. So from the Connect to grant funding, the Recreation Department is submitting to get, I believe, 6 e-bikes for share owned and operated by the municipality. So this would be a sort of light pilot project stage of what we're assessing the feasibility of for a more broad expanse. So I want to make sure that's very clear that both of these projects would be successful independently. If the recreation were to successfully get the grant and we were not, their project would still provide great value and be very successful. And if we were to get the grant funding and they were not, we would be very successful and provide a lot of value. But if both were to go through, the data that we'd be able to collect from kind of initial share library run by the municipality would be very beneficial to improving the feasibility. And I believe any kind of work us doing on the trails, getting people excited about it and looking at the feasibility of this and really kind of bringing attention to the Recreation Department's program as well. So you also have several policies and strategies in place right now tied to this. So it makes sense with the existing goals of the community, both through the 2010 Active Transportation Plan, which I discussed earlier. So there's an update in progress. So we would be following that very closely through a project of this nature. The 2022 Active Living Strategic Plan that was implemented. I also mentioned the Cycle Nova Scotia Blue Route. I have it pictured here on the map on the side in the slide. Any of the dashed areas are still just planned and not fully implemented. So I think this is a great time for us to get to the table with them with a feasibility report of this nature and really discuss how those routes are shaping and provide a lot more input to the provincial funding through there. And there is investments coming from both the federal and provincial governments for active transit, both now and in the future. So having a study like this would set you up to secure those grant funds in the future. So just to give a rough outline, the project would kick off whenever funding was approved. They're saying in March, there is a potential with a very competitive program like Connect2 that this will get pushed out as they assess later into March. And that is key for a reason we'll discuss in a bit. And then I don't want to pay too much attention to the dates because of this, but just to give a broad idea of the phases that we'd be working through, we'd want to do a lot of information gathering, make sure we're very familiar with the plan, make sure we're very familiar with the updates going on to your existing strategic plan. We'd want to get out there come spring and summer and talk with people on the trails for the specifics to this feasibility study and start discussing with other neighboring municipal partners to see if they had interest in supporting the network in any way. And then we get onto the desktop exercises of identifying routes, level of service. This would be through mapping. We'd be looking at topography. We'd be looking at land cover. We'd be looking at, is it feasible from an engineering perspective to execute a project and get things in here and prioritize things like this? And then we compile this into a feasibility report. So we have our partners as well with the share sites. We'd have ways of, we'd be looking at that through the phase 3 and 4. So assessing these hubs, both from an infrastructure stage, getting in some concept design so that you're ready and know what they would look like. And we want you geared up, ready for where you feel the next step you can go to is building. That's where we want to get to. So what we'd be requesting from staff is a letter of support. The grant is 75% funded. We are still working through the scope and the budget through here. The grant deadline is early March, so we still have some time to scope this out and get it really hammered down, but we wanted to get in front of you today to make sure that we have the goodwill and the support from the municipality as we progress here. And we wouldn't be looking for a lot of municipal staff time through here, so we would be looking for any documentation and data to be supplied and then review of any of our findings and provide as much input as they felt they had the capacity to give and wanted to give. So we don't want this to be an additional burden on staff time. And as I said earlier here, so our initial scope, we were thinking in the realm of $30,000 to $40,000 to execute the funding. If we are 75% funded, as we go out and we flesh out this budget, we'll make sure that we are not exceeding a scope budget that would be in excess of a $9,500 burden on the town's finances. So that's the 25% there. So that's our soft target. We're hoping to come in less than $9,500, needing funding from the municipality, but that's our kind of ceiling that we're hitting there. So we have an opportunity as well, if we're not comfortable with the funding thresholds and having that amount of gray area, with this type of grant funding being very competitive, and there's likely a lot of applications for them to review, there's a high chance that applications aren't being accepted until April. So just with how your council schedules are operating, there is a potential for us to defer this decision an extra month and write that in the grant application and give everyone time to review the proposal and get comfortable with what's going in there. But it would be preferred and make us more competitive in the grant funding if we were able to have that letter of support at the current session council, which I believe is next week would be when something like that would be approved. So just to summarize the key benefits and deliverables that we're looking to achieve with this. So we want to make sure that you have something that supports going out and accessing grant funding to build this infrastructure in the future. So we want you to feel like the next step you need to do is build, nothing else after this report. We would be advancing any of your existing strategies and being in line with those strategies. So showing to the public that this is being pushed and pushed forward. We would make sure we integrate with any of your asset management programs. So we've worked with you in the past and we know your tools. So when we're incorporating these financial outlooks, we'd make sure we incorporate it holistically into the rest of the infrastructure that the municipality is managing to make sure that you can sustain and support this type of regional network long-term. And we are also going to take the opportunity to assess how that might impact spending on things like roads and how it might draw demand away from there. That isn't the key focus of the study, just with the scope and the budget that we have available to us, but it'll definitely be a factor that we're looking at. And then we want to make sure everything is actionable. Everything we do at AIM Network needs to provide value and go out and be ready for the public when it's next step. We want to make sure that we're not just doing another report that lands on a desk and is forgotten about. We want to make sure we're ready to implement next. So from that, we would have recommended specs, concept designs. Again, I'm not going to be sealing anything and putting my stamp on anything with this scope, but we will be providing recommendations on cross sections of routes and how the hubs would be designed, and you'd be able to see what this would look like. So that's the high level look through everywhere. We're on to the questions now. So just to summarize our timeline real quick. So we're pursuing this grant funding that has a deadline of March 4th, and we are currently in the process of detailing out the final scope for the application and detailing out the budget. So there's still a potential variance with that $9,500 ask potentially going lower as well. So with that, I'll open the floor to any questions you might have from me.
Okay, thank you very much, Ian. And as you do know, that council doesn't make a decision at this time on presentations.
Just yes, so my understanding is you would be okay. Recommending a decision okay. to
and we do
be occurring
have,
on the 27th.
Oh, what?
No, go ahead.
My impression that is we are providing recommendations to council for future decisions at the next meeting of council. Am I correct on that?
There will be probably a staff report regarding this at our next meeting of council. But right now we do have quite a number of councillors who would like to ask questions. Councillor Moore.
Thank you. I think I'm going to have to get you to go back a few slides. I find it easier to ask questions during when the slide is in front of me, but that's sure. Okay. The chair has the chair makes the rules, so thank you. So go back to okay, right there. All right. So are you in one of your slides, and I don't remember which one it was now, it said about partnering with other communities, I think it said, or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that mean that because this transportation it will include, this proposal will include Mahom Bay, Lunenburg, Bridgewater, are you going to these other municipal units and request funding?
No. For this, we are giving them an opportunity to provide input and provide letters of support and things like that. So it wouldn't be specifically for this project. We recognize that as a district, you are surrounding a lot of other more dense urban areas that would be destinations for your residents. So just in the spirit of AIM Network has a, not a mandate, but a very strong push towards collaboration. And this also helps with future grant applications. A lot of the federal and provincial grants require this. So just with the timeline of this grant application, the scope and the partners we currently have, it would be the District of Lunenburg leading this and AIM Network supporting and executing the project. And as a piece of the scope, we're planning to, and we can always adjust the scope right now, we're planning to go to the Bridgewaters, the Mahom Bays, and the town of Lunenburg just to have a discussion and allow them to provide input and potentially provide letters of support for future grant applications and whatnot.
Councilor Moore, have a supplementary question.
Would any of these, like, docking stations, would they be within the towns? Because I would think that if I was going from New Germany to Mahom Bay, that there would be a docking station in Mahom Bay, but you're saying that the municipality would be paying for those docking stations within the towns?
So part of this report is answering that question. Mm. So it's potential that the result is it's best to have the docking stations in the towns. It's possible that it's best to have them managed by Lunenburg. So there will be politics and there will be who's willing to spend the money and there will be a lot of things like that influencing where they go. But from a pure, strict technical and feasibility perspective, this report will be answering that question. And I'm not the e-bike hub expert on the team to provide my initial thoughts of where they might go, but I do agree with your thinking that it would be beneficial to have those stations within the centers of the townships and as well as supplementary stations being positioned throughout the district as well.
Thank you for now.
Councilor Hubley, I do believe you had a question.
I do. Thank you. You stated that the maximum cost to the municipality would be $9,500. And then you also stated that, I believe you said, 6 e-bikes owned and operated by the municipality. Do I have that part right?
Yes. So that's a separate project being submitted to the Connect 2 grant application. So if we were to move forward with this, the district would be submitting 2 separate applications to the Connect 2 grant funding. So one of them is the presentation that I'm giving here, and the other is being submitted by the Recreation Department to purchase 6 e-bikes essentially in March to set up a share library within, I'm not exactly sure where they're going. I believe they're going in near where you guys are having this meeting right now. I'm not too sure. Casey might be able to provide more input there, but that's a separate project. So if they were to both go ahead, we would essentially have a small e-bike library that we can draw data and surveys from to support this feasibility study. but that's a separate project that we would potentially align with and utilize its findings.
So I'm looking for a little clarification because I'm a little bit confused. We want to put these docking stations in the neighboring towns, and that would be at their cost, correct?
Yes. If Mahone Bay, let's say, decided they wanted to participate in the regional e-bike share, they could put in a docking station at their cost. And with the potential private money here, it's not clear right now who would own and operate them, who would be responsible for the funding, how the pay system would work with that. These are all things that would be explored in the feasibility study. So in terms of ownership, operation, and even providing revenue, it's not clear how that would be operating right now and would be within the scope of the study.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
Actually, Councillor Greek had her hand up for a while.
Okay, sorry. Councillor Greek.
Thank you. I have two questions, both which have somewhat already been asked and touched on, but I'm still a little confused. The program you're talking about, my first question is, are you, the e-bikes, like, would they be available for a person to borrow for the weekend or only to bike from point A to point B, from like this docking station to this docking station and return it? Or could I pick it up and borrow it for a weekend and take it elsewhere and then return it, say, a Monday?
That's a great question. And that a lot of these details around the operation of the e-bike hubs would be discussed within the study. Like, I'm not sure exactly how that would work. I imagine all of the above would be an option available to someone. Again, it would ultimately depend on the needs of the community. So we want to make sure from AIM Network that whenever we're recommending products, for lack of a better term, that it isn't something where the municipality's behavior is now influenced by the product, but more the product meets the need of the community exactly. So we would be providing recommendations based on any of our data gathering, community outreach, and as well as utilizing all the great community outreach that's being done right now with the active transit plan updates. So we would figure out how people would want to use and operate them, and we would provide recommendations and discuss that and go into much further detail within the study.
Okay. And my second question is, are the 8 to 10 docking stations spread throughout, like, our municipality or the towns, or are you looking for one pocket, like huddled in between Mahone Bay, Lunenburg, Bridgewater, or would you stretch it across our 400 and some thousand acres of our municipality?
My personal goal with the project would be to provide as much access to this network as possible. So a lot of it will be driven by population, but there will also be an aspect of just geographic outreach. So we'll come up with the best way to assess that within the study. But I want to make sure that we aren't playing favorites or anything like that, and that there isn't, wherever the need is, assess the feasibility of the route reaching there would be the main goal. So I would like to see a broad, far-reaching geographic network here, especially when, as this would expand, ideally decades and decades in the future, we're also looking at expanding into the HRMs, the Valley, and out Liverpool Way potentially. So that's very long-term and outside the scope here, but the idea is setting up a transportation network that as many people as possible have access to utilize. So that goes beyond the e-bikes as well. So I want to make sure it's clear that part of this is also assessing putting in routes for people to walk, pedal bike, e-bike, whatever they might see the need of as well.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead, Mayor Bolivar-Getson.
So I guess I have a few questions in relation to this. The overall budget is $40,000, and that's only for the feasibility study, correct?
We're still detailing out the budget, but that's our ballpark target, is a $30,000 to $40,000 overall for the study, 25% of which we would need funding from the municipality for.
So I guess without the funding from the municipality, does the project move forward? Are there other municipalities? I know Councillor Moore asked that question, and I guess I'm a little confused. Are the hubs only in the municipality of the District of Lunenburg, or are the hubs in the other units, and why wouldn't we reach out to all the units if it's a regional approach?
So part of that is it is best to reach out to all the municipal units. Yes, we want to make sure that that's where a lot of the population, a lot of the destinations of your tax base are also traveling to. So just a lot of it is given the timelines of getting this assembled. The Connect 2 funding opened up rather rapidly, and it can be quite difficult to manage multiple municipal entities within a short period of time to push something like this forward. So we have the engagement here. So we're pushing where we have the engagement at the moment and recognizing that this regional approach, it will also benefit the surrounding towns, and you will also benefit by having their interaction. So right now we're incorporating them into the feasibility study, where we will be going and providing outreach and discussing with them. I don't want the municipality in a position where it feels like their taxpayer funding is going towards assessing the feasibility of e-bike hubs in the town of Mahone Bay, in the town of Lunenburg. So it will primarily be a kind of a footnote. It would be good to have a hub within the town of Mahone Bay. This is a destination that people are reaching. But in terms of the detailed assessment of everything and the feasibility, the main focus for concept designs, expanding routes, building infrastructure, is this within the district? And we will be having discussions with the surrounding towns and allowing them to have inputs and potentially getting letters of support to pursue future funding to install this infrastructure.
So again, just to be clear, this isn't for infrastructure. There's a part two out there somewhere that I believe I hear you talking about the private sector funding or someone else funding.
Yeah, this is just getting us in the position to find funding later to build. And we won't need to do this big study as part of that. And a lot of grant applications require a feasibility study to build, and it can be quite difficult to find funding for feasibility studies like this and this type of work. So we have an opportunity here. We're jumping on it. And in the future, we'll be looking. So yeah, this project is mainly looking at where can we build, how would we build, roughly how much would it cost, and then the actual building would be another project down the road, different grant funding.
Mayor, do you have a supplementary question?
I have one other question, and that's back on the community consultation. I believe it's on slide 7, and I guess my question would be is what is the plan for that community and partner engagement, and who would it involve?
Yeah, so I believe right now Casey will also be assisting in aspects of executing this project. So we are planning on hopping on the trail and talking with people through this time. We'll be not tying up a lot of staff time, but we'll have a chat with the folks that have been executing the current active transit strategy, getting any recommendations from them, utilizing the information that they received. We'll be talking with a lot of the kind of nonprofit and municipal heads. And we could potentially look at setting up some town halls. We can do quite a bit. We are still detailing and scoping out exactly how this project will get executed over the next couple weeks. But I want to make sure that we're definitely hitting that community and partner engagement correctly, while still not overlapping too much on the great work that's currently being done with updating the active transit strategy. So I don't want to talk to someone twice about the same thing out in the public, but I want to make sure that anyone in the public that feels that they didn't get an opportunity to input on this, we want to find ways to reach them both on the trail, potentially virtually, potentially with town halls and whatnot.
Okay. Councillor Bell, I believe you have a question as well.
Thank you. In principle, I do like the idea of this concept and program, but I do still have a few questions that I don't fully understand in my head here. In phase three, you identified and show on a map there roadway infrastructure. Now, your proposed routes mainly include provincial highway infrastructure, but the other network that's out there is the provincial trails network, like Beta Bay Trail and the Bull Run Trail. And I can see that that would play a big role in a lot of people, especially families that may not want to travel on a public highway because some of them don't have a paved shoulder and some of them have fast-moving vehicles. I quite often see families on these trails just on pedal bicycles, but I think with an electric bike, you could open up a whole new area of people who want to travel for recreational purposes, especially seniors that may not be able to pedal for long periods of time. And then on phase, and I think you did answer that briefly, but if you might want to elaborate on that. On phase two, when we go to public consultation, I've gone through this before in building infrastructure for a community, and sometimes communities that aren't directly involved or don't have any funding obligation certainly have lots of ideas they want to share. And so if the municipality was going to be one of the main funders here, I would have some concern if the docking stations were mainly located in other municipal units that might not have a financial investment in the overall program. So that's where I stand on this, but you can answer anything that you don't feel you have fully answered based on those two observations.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the mentions to safety with the active transportation. I don't have time for it anymore, but I was formerly on the board of the Halifax Cycling Coalition. I'm very aware of the safety around active transit and how much of a barrier that is to people getting out there. I think most of us would be very willing to hop on a bike to go get our groceries if there was a protected, safe route for us to get there that we are comfortable with and know how to navigate. So I myself will not be ethically recommending any painted bike lanes or anything where there's a risk to traffic interfering with any of our active transit users. They're very vulnerable road users and need to be protected through any of this. So that will be part of detailing out kind of our recommended kind of how would we build this? What does it look like? What's a good standard for us to use when we're building anything? And another key feature here is that we want to make sure that the district is building as little as it needs to have a very successful active transportation network. So we have all of the provincial trail, rails to trail network, the blue routes, and we have a lot of this here. So how can we leverage that existing infrastructure to tie onto both cost-effectively and time-efficiently if someone was riding on it? So a big aspect of this project is assessing the network, whether we're on a pedal bike, walking, taking the dog out, or hopping on our e-bike to commute to work even. So the main focus from the narrative aspect will be primarily around the utility and the getting to work, getting the groceries, seeing family. There cannot be denied the economic impacts of having the tourism of a very safe, protected route like this. That is the main focus of the blue route, as far as I understand it, is a tourism generator. So that is a benefit that is very large, both for domestic people within the district going around seeing everything and people coming from away to ride the trails. So we want to make sure that these trails are safe and sustainable for you guys to own, operate, and maintain and capital renew. That's that tie into the asset management program. I don't want you guys to have to hire a staff member who's an e-bike mechanic because of these hubs potentially. So we'll be very cognizant of the demand on staff time, both during this project and when it comes to built infrastructure here. So we'll be tying that into things like the level of service documents that kind of state, like snow clearing, for example, on these active transportation networks. That will be a footnote to discuss how that would operate in here. So we want to make sure that this trail network is safe, accessible, and efficient for people to get around on. And then in regards to the e-bike hubs, we still need to have a lot of discussions with our private partners for exactly how they are owned and operated and maintained. So in an ideal scenario, I think they would be just fully installed by the private entity and the revenues would pay to operate and maintain them. And the cost to do that wouldn't be a barrier to anyone accessing the e-bikes regularly. A new e-bike can run you $2,000 to $3,000. So I think having that share library in place initially, there's a risk that if the town, the municipality was operating it, that once people get on those e-bikes and start using them for shares, they decide they love it so much, buy their own. Now you have less people using the library. So we'll be looking at things like that. And regards to the last point there as well, I want to make sure that, like, I don't want the municipality paying for me to do infrastructure assessments that only benefit the town of Mahomebeg or the town of Lunenburg. This is focused on the district. And so Mahomebeg, Bridgewater, Lunenburg can't be ignored when we're focusing on the district, since it is such a big destination for folks. But it's about the district at the end of the day for this feasibility study. So we'll be looking at how they interact, but they won't be a key partner in getting everything off the ground, and we won't be providing concept design drawings for infrastructure only within the town of Mahomebeg. It'll be district focused. Did that clear up the questions you had? I think I hit the points.
Would that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I have Councillor Moore. Thank you.
I think you stated that it would be minimal staff time. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Minimal staff time. Our staff is very, very busy. Very, very busy. Mm-hmm. Would this project go ahead if our staff could not participate?
Yes. All we're looking for is a potential half-hour meeting here or there just to provide any kind of documentation over. So make sure I have all the latest and greatest plans and strategies to review to make sure we're hitting all the points there. And then if the other grant application for the 6 e-bikes goes forward, they offer to supply us with any kind of data that comes from that. So no big burden beyond a few emails and a potential half hour Teams call here and there. So we won't be given any homework to staff to provide for this report.
Thank you.
And we did have a discussion with the director of recreation over there, and we looked at how this would scope out. So we have an understanding of their capacity to support this project.
Are there any other questions? No, I did have a question regarding what Councillor Moore just asked as well, and you've already answered that, so that's wonderful. No other questions? Well, thank you very much, Ian, for joining us this morning and giving us all this information. We greatly appreciate it. And we hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful day. And I hope I can get out there in person for the next one, if there is one.
So we're going to take a 10-minute break. All right. And then we'll come back with our rec department.